Students, workers, first and renters, you need to be extra aware. Scammers everywhere, trying to seize your money. Now, today on Money Matters, the topic is all about how to avoid being scammed. To help us understand steps that scammers take, to help us understand what steps we can take to avoid being scammed, we have on this show Mark Lancaster from Timeless Council to talk about some of the scams that he had come across as part of his job. So, Mark, please tell us, in what context do you come across victims of scam?
Okay, hi Ripon. Thanks for inviting me on. Well, I'm a housing policy officer at Tower Hamlets Council. So for the last couple of years, I've been working specifically on the private rented sector with the council. One of the projects that I've been involved with over the last year is working with a range of advice agencies and other organisations in the borough to put together the Tower Hamlets Private Renters Charter. And that sets out in clear language the standards that the law demands from all private landlords and agents. And the council and other agencies who've signed up to it have all promised to help people who fall victim to dodgy agents and dodgy landlords. And the charter sets out some of the steps that the council and other organisations will take. So I think probably the first thing that I'd really encourage people to do is to look at the Tower Hamlets Private Renters Charter. It's available in 10 different community languages. It's fairly easy to find. Just put Tower Hamlets Private Renters Charter into your search engine. And that sets out one of the problems that we found is that people not only don't know their rights, but don't really understand the concept in some cases that they have rights, that the law provides protection for them as people who are looking for somewhere to rent. So the Tower Hamlets Private Renters Charter sets out the rights that you do have in fairly simple, easy to understand language. So that's a decent starting point.
So to make it easier for our listeners, from your experience, what type of scams have you come across in relation to future and potential renters?
Well, I guess people are at their most vulnerable when they're looking for somewhere to live. It's particularly hard at the moment, we all know, to find somewhere to rent that's affordable, and it's even harder if you're on a low income or on benefits. And so that means that people are particularly vulnerable to being scammed at that point when they're looking for somewhere. So people do things that in normal circumstances they just wouldn't dream of doing. People hand over large sums of cash to people they don't really know. It's quite common to find people being tricked into paying in advance for a room or a flat that either doesn't exist or that the fraudster has no connection with, no right to rent out at all. The internet makes this easy. It's easy enough to post a picture of a room or a flat online that's nothing to do with you. But it's not just there. People often set up quite legitimate looking office addresses, sometimes in quite impressive locations. For example, we've seen people renting desks in an office in Canary Wharf, and that gives a kind of veneer of legitimacy to their business, and it makes fraudsters sometimes quite hard to spot. So I think the advice is really don't hand money over to people until you're really sure who you're handing, who they are. Do your own research, Google, ask them questions, ask them kind of detailed questions about what they're letting out and what their business is doing. The GLA, the London government, has recently launched a rogue landlord checker. So you can look at their database of information on individuals and companies that have...
So how do I go about checking the checker?
Sure. Well, if you just, again, you can just Google GLA Rogue Landlord Checker, and then you can put in the name of the individual that you're dealing with, or the address of the property that you're dealing with. And it's not going to give you absolute protection, but it will tell you whether that individual has been prosecuted or convicted for scams or for being a dodgy landlord in the last few years.
I went online on Gumtree or any other tree, and I saw an advert, and I said to myself, God, look at this room. The price of room is just too good to be true. Now, what do you say that to that?
Well, I'd say the first thing, trust your instincts. If it seems too good to be true, perhaps it is. You know, there's a reason that it's going so cheaply. Contact the person, ask them why it's so cheap. Ask to see if you can, ask to see paperwork to show that they've got a right to let the flat out, ask to see safety certificates in advance, so gas safety certificates, for example, if it's got gas. Try not to pay cash. I know this is sometimes not possible, but wherever you can, transfer money into somebody's bank account rather than handing them cash, and transfer money into a bank account that links to the name of the person who's letting to you. If you have to pay cash, make sure you get receipts and make sure you keep meticulous records about when you've handed money over and what you've handed it over for. Try to get them to sign a receipt.
So, let's say you have transferred the money's gone to the scammer. So, and you know the property that has been advertised isn't there. What can you do then?
Well, if you've handed the money over and you've discovered that it's too late to do anything about the property isn't there, then the first thing you should do is get in contact with Action Fraud. Again, you can kind of put that into the search engine, and they're a kind of joint concern involving the police and various other agencies who may be able to take action on your behalf. The other route to go down is to try to take civil action against the person who's stolen your money. So trying to take them to court, trying to run a money claim against them. But frankly, if you've been scammed, it's probably by somebody you're going to find very hard to trace. It's really, really the best advice is that you have to do all you can to avoid it happening to you, because once it has happened, it's not impossible, but it can be very difficult to get your money back again. There are steps you can take if you've gone through a letting agent, and you know they're on the high street, you know who they are. But if we're talking about somebody that you've just kind of handed money over to or transferred money to without really knowing who they are, it's very difficult to take action. But Action Fraud is a good place to start.
So obviously we've been talking a great deal about when you're looking for a home. Let's say I have now moved into a home, but I feel as though my money that I have passed to my landlord as a deposit. Now that deposit isn't where it's meant to be, so my landlord is being deceptive. What can I do in that setting?
Almost always, although it's changing slightly in some cases, but almost always a landlord will, or an agent will, ask for a deposit along with the rent in advance. And it's important to keep in mind that these are two separate things. Sometimes people don't really distinguish between the two things, but they are very different. So ordinarily you'll pay a month or 4 weeks rent in advance, and a similar amount as a deposit. Now the deposit is not money that you're giving to the landlord or agent so that they can keep it. It's money that the landlord or agent is keeping against the possibility that you might cause tremendous damage to the flat that you're renting. In the normal run of things, when you move out, the landlord or agent should return the money that you've given to them as a deposit. They're entitled to keep a portion of that money to pay for any damage that you've caused, but we're talking about actual damage you've caused, not ordinary wear and tear. And certainly not, it's certainly not acceptable for the landlord simply to keep it and just not return it to you because it's, you know, covering some sort of unnamed charge that the landlord has come up with. Now, it used to be even more common than it is now that landlords would keep hold of deposits that tenants have paid. And in large part, that's because some years ago, a law was introduced that requires landlords to register any deposit that they take from a tenant with an independent deposit protection agency. Now, the law says that they have to do that within 30 days of getting the deposit from you. And not only that, but they must give you proof that they've done so. So if you pay a landlord or an agent a deposit, and then 30 days later, you haven't had proof from them that they've registered and protected it with an independent protection agency, then that landlord or agent has broken the law.
So if the landlord has broken the law, what remedies can a tenant have?
Well, what the law says is that if you file a fairly straightforward claim in a county court, then the judge will order the landlord or agent to pay you, to return the deposit to you in full, and also to pay you compensation of between one and three times the value of the deposit. So potentially that's an awful lot of money. At the same time, the landlord has very considerable restrictions on how they can evict you. It's very much harder for a landlord to evict you if they haven't protected your deposit. There are very, very strict legal steps that a landlord must take in order to force you to leave the property that they're renting to you, which is your home. It's important to keep that in mind. If you're renting somewhere off a landlord, it's not their house, it's your home for the period of time that you're renting it. And there are very strict rules about what a landlord can and can't do. If they want to make you leave your home, for whatever reason, they have to follow a strict procedure. And if they haven't protected your deposit, it's very much harder for them to evict you. It's perhaps not the moment to sort of go into all the steps that a landlord has to take, but I just go back to the private renter's charter. It's all set out there. It's very much focused on Tower Hamlets, but it summarises the law. The other really, really, really good place to look that I would entirely recommend is Shelter's website. Anything that you need to know about your rights as a renter or a prospective renter, you can find on Shelter's website. Does that answer your question? I feel like
Of course, absolutely. You gave a huge detour of roles and responsibilities of landlords, absolutely. Yes. But moving away from landlords in a sense of the due process that the landlord has to follow and moving to paying landlord.
Yeah.
So paying landlord, let's say by bank transfer or through bank accounts.
Right.
And let's say we have a fraudster that you pass the money to or to fraudster's bank account.
Yes.
When things go wrong, what role do banks play in that setting?
What roles do banks play? Well, if you're renting from a landlord and you're paying the landlord rent, and the landlord isn't doing what they're meant to be doing, there's not really an awful lot that your bank's going to do. A landlord, presuming that they have a right to let the property to you, you are legally liable for rent, regardless of whether the landlord is carrying out their own duties. So it's important to separate those two things. Your landlord may be a terrible, terrible, terrible landlord, and there are many things you can do about that. But withholding the rent, although it's it seems a very obvious remedy, is risky because you're not legally entitled to do that, even if the landlord, unfortunately, is a terrible landlord.
Sure. I mean, initially we've talked about seeing an advert on Gumtree.
Yes.
And of course, and then by genuine mistake, you have transferred the money into an account that you shouldn't have. Is there a way that an individual can actually recover their money?
Well, you could
think of.
Well, you could try talking to the bank. It's possible the bank will have some kind of insurance or some kind of fraud investigation process that they can go through with that. Otherwise, I would advise you to get help from Action Fraud.
Sure. Mark, thank you for taking part on Money Matters podcast.
It's a pleasure.
Listeners, hope to hear from